any moment. But before the jet lands, I thought I'd talk a little bit about, are you open to solutions? Because many times, particularly if you take a look at what's happening out there, it's really a binary world, isn't it? It's either yes or no, black or white, Republican or Democrat. And if you're not part of the group think, or the group that thinks its way of thinking is correct, you get canceled, you get annihilated. Okay, so there's a lot of that going on, okay? But there's also another important issue, all right? And I sort of hit on, I've noticed this for a long time, but I really struck home the other day having a conversation with someone, and he was so sure of his response. And I took a look, and just the way the energy was, it was such linear thinking. All I could think of was in a very linear way. If this, then that, or these are the signs of something, therefore it must be. Okay, so any other possibility, of course, did not exist, whether it's with the group think, whether it's with the individual or something. And that's what we kind of do inside ourselves, isn't it? This has to be this way, it has to be that way, etc. You know, and it was interesting. The other day I read an article about all the small countries that were islands, or all the small islands in the world that weren't necessarily countries, maybe they're archipelagos or so, that because of climate change and the increase in the water levels, they thought that these islands would become underground. Underwater, actually. Okay, they would just disappear. Okay, and the article was really, really interesting because they weren't arguing for climate change or against climate change. They were simply, in a very scientific way, describing if that were so. Okay, and it turned out that the islands either had gotten smaller, or they'd stayed the same, or they had increased. Okay, but none of them had gone underwater. None of them had disappeared. Okay, and the findings were really interesting. And by the way, they did this from measurements under water at water level, and from the air, okay? They had many ways of measuring what they were looking for. And it was very, very interesting because what happened was, yeah, okay, the water level would rise and it would wipe out a part of the island, okay? But on the other part of the island, there was this action of the water. It was kicking up sand and other rubble, etc. And that part of the island would get longer or bigger. And so there was a net increase in the size of the island, or the outline of the island had changed. You know, the coastline became sort of jagged, etc. Okay? Or in some cases, because of the action of the water, the sand and the rubble and all had actually increased the size of the island by quite a bit, okay? And the whole point was that they had mocked it up as either or, okay, or in a very linear way. If the level of water increases, then these islands will disappear. And none of that happened, okay? And they also found something interesting. Else, that a lot of it had to do with coral reefs and the life of coral reefs, etc. And there's been an incredible amount of fear that, oh my, with the increase in the water temperature, etc., that these coral reefs would die. And that would be it. And what a catastrophe that would be. Okay? But then they found something really interesting happening. They found that that was absolutely right, that coral reefs were in fact dying because of the increase in the water temperature. Okay? But what they had completely left out was, yeah, but what happens is there's a species of fish, etc., that kicks up all this extra sand and extra stuff and whatever, and the coral reefs wind up being reborn. They come alive again because of certain underwater action and certain species of fish, etc., etc. Okay? I thought, you know, this is really fabulous. This is kind of like what we need to do as individuals and also collectively. We need to keep ourselves open to all the solutions that are possible. Even if we don't know what they are, we need to be open to them. Okay? You know, years ago I started writing a book. It was going to be entitled The Future History of Mankind. Okay? And one of the chapters was bringing forward a new paradigm for the mind. Okay? Instead of either or, it's both and. Both and. Okay? And we have a tendency to go to think completely binary. We see the one or the other. If the water rises, okay, then this will happen to islands. Okay? If the temperature of the water increases, then coral reefs will die. Okay? We're not open to the broadness of the whole problem, of the whole solution, you know? It was interesting, a couple of years ago when we had those tsunamis, this person, he was about to retire so he could risk it all. He was the president of the American or the International Seismographic Association, had long been a professor, etc., of this. For 40 plus years, and he admitted that everything they had thought was true about the tectonic plates, about fault lines, everything was entirely incorrect. Okay? And we need to do that within our own self, within our own consciousness. We need to think in terms of, hey, you know, maybe my approach was not correct. Instead of insisting on this is the way and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Hey, it hasn't worked so far. Why am I thinking it's suddenly going to work? Isn't that the definition of craziness? To keep doing the same old thing, but you think it's eventually going to work? Not at all. Okay? And we need to do this in our thinking, but we can't do this in our thinking, okay, unless we go to the place where there are solutions, okay? And the place of solutions is, of course, in the spirit we are. So if we have an agenda, nothing is gonna be in our agenda other than what we put there. Okay? It's not our agenda. We don't allow it. Okay? So we need to give up our agenda. We need to be open. We let go of the struggle, we give it over to the light. You know, the teachings teach us that frustration, okay, it's a sign of the insistence of our ego. And whenever we feel frustrated that we're not getting our way, it's not happening the way we think it should, etc., then we need to take advantage of that. And we need to let go and restart and go to spirit. Okay? It's only after we give up our internal struggle and go to spirit that the solutions can come forth. Okay? See, because the nature of the mind is it's going to be in duality. It's not going to be able to get above itself, as it were. Okay? Watson and Crick, they were at a dead end. They couldn't get any further. Okay? And one of them was smart enough to know, okay, that's it for my mind. It ain't capable of anything else, okay? And he opened up to his work and the solution in a dream state. And he got the answer in the dream state. Okay? Let go of his agenda. Let go of the insistence. Okay? Letting go of the seeming rational part of ourselves. Okay? Remember, the mind is a part of the negative worlds. Doesn't mean it's bad, but its thinking is limited. It's limited by karma, by the karmic fields. Okay? If you're real smart, you'll let go of it. Let go of its being in charge. Let go of its hegemony and allow the spirit to bring forth the solution. Okay? You know, it's kind of when we do the spiritual work, and this path doesn't focus on karma. Okay? It focuses on knowing ourselves as soul or spirit. And when we go to that place of knowing ourselves as spirit, that's where the solutions come. Yeah, because the mind does not have a stranglehold on our consciousness. Okay? We're bringing in something, as it were, from outside the system. Our everyday consciousness, and bringing it into the system. Okay? Until, of course, we realized that our system was too small. Okay? We were just having it be comprised of the mind and the emotions, etc., and the consciousness, okay? And it only seemed like a higher power because we had placed it outside of ourselves. When we started... Going to have to reconstitute that. Because we had placed it outside ourselves. Okay? So now when we practice proper ID, we know that we're it. There's nothing higher than our consciousness. We're at the apex of creation. How can there be anything higher than that? We are the Lord God. Ain't nothing higher than the Lord God. Okay? And spirit itself is the solutio. It is the solution. Okay? And it brings forth solutions on all this level, and all these levels. It's interesting. It's always been interesting to me that cancer has to do with something going awry in the system, where what is inside the system is perceived as outside, and so it's perceived as an attack. Okay, and so the defenses start to happen, start to kick in. can you get this autoimmune disease? Of course, it's all karmically based, but that's the mechanism. Okay? So we don't yet know what's inside of us. And what's inside of us is the spirit, where all the solutions are. That's where God is. That's where the solutions are. Okay? Mm-hmm. You hear that expression, oh, we have to think outside the box. You have to think outside the box. You have to think outside the box. Okay? And that has to do with, obviously, groupthink, etc., or the small-mindedness, okay? But we need to make the box big enough so that we realize, yeah, you know what? If the water level rises, it's not just two elements in the system. Therefore, the islands go underwater, they disappear. No, there can be all these other things happening too. It's so extensive, it's so vast, okay? It's not a question of, okay, the water gets hot, the reefs die. And you're just gonna stay with that? Yeah. But they become alive again. Then there's the other action of other actions of water and fish, etc. Other things happening. Okay? We need to allow all those possibilities within our consciousness. Okay? You know, it's said that with God all things are possible. Okay? And yet we tend to walk around with, oh, it can only be this way or that way, etc., etc. Okay? We need to be open to the vastness of possibilities. And we need to know and we need to practice the arrival, as it were, of these solutions. Okay? And how do they arrive and where do they arrive? In the spirit that we are. So we need to be in that place, you know? And I've heard many creative people say that, oh, they're afraid to dream because that will take away their creativity, okay? And to me, it's always been fascinating because every creative person that I've known quite a few, actually, who has admitted paying attention to dreams, working with them, etc., etc., readily admits that, no, it's only increased their creativity. Okay? Whether it was artistic productivity, whether it was understanding, whether it was stuff they could bring to their art, it happened many times in a dream state. Okay? Because we're not, in a dream state, we're not tethered by our, quote, normal and everyday consciousness. Okay? You know? And I've shared this story a couple of times. Whenever I get involved in a basketball pool, the NCAA college championship, you know, I have missed coming in the money several times. Okay? And of course, if the team you pick gets knocked out in the opening rounds, it really reverberates throughout all the different rounds. Okay? And I took a quick look at the times I did miss out on the money. And it's always the same thing. What happened was, in the early rounds, okay, what came up for me instinctively, intuitively or so, was this team. Okay, pick this team. And my rational mind would say, no, how can you? They have a lousy record, or their conference wasn't that tough, or they're on a losing streak towards the end, etc., etc. And I would dismiss it, okay, and I'd go for the other team. And of course, that was the team that lost, and the team that I instinctively wanted to pick before my, quote, rational mind kicked in. One went quite far in the tournament, okay? And then I decided, okay, well, let me take a look at the times I did win. Okay, I did actually once win the whole thing, and once I came in third. Okay, and I decided to look at it and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. That team I was going to kick out. And I stopped myself, and it went like three or four of the rounds, man. And then there was a second one, too. Who would think of this little team? Was it like Little Cleveland State or so? You know, no one ever heard of them. If it weren't for the word Cleveland in it, probably no one would know where it is, you know? And, okay, so I very consciously had to knock out the rational mind that would come up with rationalizations, okay? And also, in working with a lot of you, I've discovered that a lot of you are up until now prone to doing the same thing, okay? Like something comes up for you, it's a truth, and you'll just kick it out of the box. You'll knock it out, either because you're not supposed to know that, you're not supposed to think that, what will others think, etc. Okay? So we need to have the courage of our knowing too. Not just knowing, but we need to have the courage. Okay? We need to have the courage of our knowing. Okay? No matter how discordant it may be with the rest of us, okay, or with others, okay, we need to align with it, back it, and trust it, okay? And then, of course, we always have a fail-safe method. We put in the light for the highest good. Hey, dear Lord, you know, or God, hey, this is what I'm going with. Please, if I need any correction or anything else, please show me what else I need to know. Or if there are any assumptions underlying this, please help me get at them, understand them, etc., etc. Okay? It's very, 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 very important that we do this. Okay? But we do this only under one condition. And what's the condition? Okay, that we don't place any condition on what comes forward for us. Okay, and that we are practicing proper ID. Okay, and we allow it to come from spirit. Okay, you know, it's not a question of so often it happens in an open hour or in class, people trying to get the right answer. As if there's something I want to hear. Okay? Well, the only right answer is the answer that comes from your integrity. Okay? That's the right answer. Okay? And if you're looking for the right answer, that's a sign that you're in duality. Because you're playing right versus wrong. That doesn't exist in spirit. I'm not interested. Okay. Reminds me, years ago, someone invited someone to come to meditation. Okay. And then after it was over or so, the person who invited this person asked the person who was invited, well, how was it? Well, it was okay, but, you know, I didn't like that Dr. Lane made me wrong. And so the person who invited this person, what do you mean? I was there. I didn't hear Dr. Lane make you wrong. And he said, oh, no, no, he did. Didn't you hear him tell me to do this and this and this while I was meditating? And the person said, well, yeah, I did. I said, but why did he have to make me wrong? Okay. Did you understand that? That person was walking around with probably appearance sake, how he looked to others, and inside of him was playing right versus wrong. Okay? My only interest was, hey, help him to do meditation of the light of the Most High as it needs to be done. I was only interested in making him right, because he is right. He's on the right side, if you take a look at negative and positive polarity. Okay? I have no interest in making him right to show how wrong he was. That's his ego stuff. Do you think I really cared about him? He wasn't there meditating. His body was on the chair, but that's not the part that was meditating. I had no interest in that. Besides, he's better at it than I could ever be. He can make himself wrong many more times than I could. I wouldn't even bother. Okay, but we tend to think of that, okay? And there's a part of our consciousness that doesn't want to let go, because we think, uh-oh, if we do allow the solution to come, that means we were wrong. Okay, that means we were wrong, okay? But it doesn't mean you were wrong. It means that you're in a process of learning, engaging, up-vibrating, etc., etc., and focused on getting it right. Being focused on getting it right doesn't mean that all the times you weren't getting it right, you were wrong. No. It means that all those times were movements, towards getting it right. See, now that's not linear thinking. So we need to have that broad way of regarding ourselves, regarding our lives, etc. So many times I hear, oh, if only I had done this, that. Well, if you could have, you would have. You know, you either chose. You chose, it was karmic, and you chose into karma. Okay, and now, isn't the good news that now you have enough distance from it that you could even regard it that way? Okay, but the teachings teach us blameless responsibility. So it's completely blameless. Okay. And notice also, a lot of us walk around going, oh my God, this stuff came up for me. I should be much further along. Which to me is probably one of the most humorous things I've ever heard. Okay? How can you be any further along than having the karma come up for you to be clear? Not much further along, huh? And I didn't know that there was any distance between you and God. So further along on what road? The road to hell that you're paving inside yourself, making yourself wrong? No. Lay off that stuff. Okay, lay off that stuff. Okay? And the teachings teach us to be present. That means practicing proper ID, and no past reference points, and no judgments. Okay? And those are wonderful, wonderful ways to help bring in the solutions. Wonderful ways. Okay? And yeah, we do need to evaluate them. okay, this work is it appropriate, etc., etc. Okay, we need to have discrimination. Okay, but that's very different from rationalizing it away. Very, very different. Okay? If somebody told me, hey, you know, you could walk from here to Chicago in, you know, 20 days. So I guess that's possible. Okay? I would have to use my discernment and discretion and say, yeah, I may very well be able to, but I'm going to choose not to do that. Okay? And that's very different from thinking, oh, what a stupid idea, what an idiotic idea, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it makes sense on a lot of levels. It's just not for my good. I choose other than. Okay, I'd rather occupy my time and energy with something else. Okay. Now, if you told me, you know, you walk from here to Chicago, you know, and we'll treat you to a game at Wrigley Field, and you'll get some of those good Chicago hot dogs. You know, that's something else. But I've got to be open to that. Okay? I've got to be open to all those extra considerations. Okay? So if I'm looking at something and say, oh, you know, that doesn't work. And then I want, okay, I'll kick it out. I may want to work it differently. I may want to look at that and go, okay, well, that doesn't work, but is there anything that will make it work or have it work? And that's very different. That's very different. Okay? So we need to appreciate how vast the field is, all the possibilities, all the solutions, and we need to practice neutrality, proper ID, and we need also to go to that place of receptivity inside ourselves, to the spirit that we are, so that we can receive neutrally the solutions. Okay? And of course, it all starts and ends and is the solutio, the spirit. Okay? The spirit brings in and is the solution. It's real simple, okay? But we need to know, how big have we constructed reality? How big have we constructed ourselves? How big are we being? And how big is this consciousness? And we need to get that right. Okay? And I'll give you a real hint as to the answer. Well, I think I've told the story once, maybe twice. Many, many years ago, had to be about good 45 years ago. We'd rented a cabin in the country, up in the woods. And it was near a spring fed lake. Okay, and there was a nice, I think it was gravel or so, it was sort of a nice gravel path along it. It was starting to get uphill, okay? And it was one morning and I was walking outside And I started to see myself in my spiritual form. Well, it was so big and so enormous that it scared the hell out of me. And I literally started running down the road thinking, oh, feet don't fail me now, man. And then I realized, well, wait a second. That's me. That's how big and vast I am. And I stopped running and I faced it. It was quite extraordinary, okay? But it sure put things in perspective, okay? And anything smaller than that, in a sense, and yes, I know God is the biggest of the big and the smallest of the small. He's within each cell as well, okay? All right, but I'm talking about that vastness, not necessarily space. Okay? And just like in the inner worlds, all those realms, all the realms, some are magnetic, 27 or so of the spiritual energy with no density, etc. We need to include that. We need to see how wonderful we are as human beings and how magnificent. And from that framework, we need to work our life and allow the solutions. And really, we can glide through this life, etc., if we allow Spirit to provide the solutions, okay? And we know from the teachings that the mind is busy producing, quote, problems that it can solve, okay? That it can solve, okay? So why don't we just allow the solutio, the solution, to come into our consciousness, and it's a consciousness without any problems. It's as simple as that. Okay, we'll stop. Okay, if anyone has a question, I'm happy to give it a shot. Okay, I'll count to three. Do you have a question? Okay, three. Well, thank you for an easy night.